of being in Ohio with my family and enjoyed my time with them very much. And so we went to Valley View Church for Sunday morning. They do not have Sunday school there, and I'm not faulting them for that. But as I pondered what I was going to share today, and I had my mind made up what I was going to share, and I looked at the Sunday school lesson of today, and studied it, realized that what I was going to share didn't really trample on each other's toes too much. But I'd be curious to know what the discussion was on question four on last Sunday. Because I just paged back. I wasn't into a church service last Sunday. And the question is this: how can man learn God's will? I don't know what was discussed. But this morning I'm planning on bringing a message about finding rest in God's will. And so I hope that you have it all figured out how to find God's will. But can we find rest in God's will? That's the question I want to look at this morning. And so we want to touch a little bit on God's will a little bit, just so we know. And this message was assigned to me, and it was entitled for youth. And so most of what I'm going to share this morning, the title of it was Youth Finding Rest in God's Will, and that's what we're going to title it here this morning again. Youth Finding Rest in God's Will. But youth, as you think about the time of life you're in, you are faced with many decisions. And so maybe sometimes you wonder, what does God want from me? What is His will for me in my life? Well, if you want to find out God's will, be open to His leading in your life. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. Let Him direct you. Stay close to Him. Stay close to His Word. He'll tell you what He wants you to do. The brotherhood, it'll tell you what, it'll be God's way of telling you what to do. The question that came to me is the struggle to finding rest in God's will only at a time of youth? I got to shake my head no. It comes to a 30-year-old man. There's times when I wonder, why? Why does it feel like God is leading me here? Excuse me. Why did this happen to my life? Why am I doing whatever you put in there? Think with me as we think about the will and how it's formed in us and part of us. As children and you're with your parents. A young child, a little baby, gets a will that they're born with. And that will presents itself when it becomes to realize it wants what it wants, and it's going to get it. And it's going to stiffen itself up, and it's going to scream and cry because it wants it. It's its will. It's its desires of life. Parents have a big responsibility in molding and shaping that will of that child. That if that will is not corrected as a young child in your arms yet, if that's not taken care of, we probably all have seen those that have gotten older children. I've seen it in stores already, where a parent says, no, you're not getting that. And what happens? That child throws itself on the floor. That child kicks and screams. wanting it's what it wants because of its will that was never bent and broken and conformed to another person's will. So parents, as that child is coming up, we strive to bend the will, not to break it, to bend it. To realize that true happiness comes when we give ourselves up to the authorities in our lives. True happiness comes when we realize that there's authority in our life and we must give in to it. And it stops there, right? It's easy to do. No, it isn't. Parents, we are to strive to teach and train our children that as authority, we can expect respect from them and that their will can be formed and shaped. I'm talking about young children. We're planting seeds in their life to tell them that authority is something that true happiness comes when we listen and obey authority. So one of the missing links, can I say, in the world about us today in raising children. The world gets the idea that true happiness comes when we just get what we want. And it's all about me and it's all about self. But it's not. Because no matter where you are in life, there's going to be authority in your life. Most of all, remember that there's God's authority that He needs in your life. And you can rebel against that. And that authority, and as we look at the title, Youth Finding Rest in God's Will, if you miss that step and you're battling against authority in your life, you're never going to find rest in God's will. Youth, it's a time of life when it changes a little. You now have a time of life where you are accountable for your actions. Accountability comes into your life. You have the opportunity now to look back and see where God, in His will for you, has placed you in the family that you're placed into. God placed you there. It's His will for you. You're there. He has placed you there for purpose. But you're still accountable somewhere. You can take the choice of letting your own will take first place in your life and live for self. That's not God's will for you. That's not what God has for you. That's not what He wants you to do. Or you can give yourself up to God's will and His leading in your life. You're faced with a choice in life. What's it going to be? You realize that there is a God in heaven that has a will for your life. You're faced with the decision whether you're going to open up your life to Him and strive to follow Him, or whether you're going to live for your own will and for your own pleasures. Let's turn into Hebrews chapter 11. I like to think about a man. At this point in the message here, I like to think about a man that was faced with this choice. Is he going to follow God and His will for his life, or is he going to follow his own will and his own selfish desires? What's he going to do? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. This is a faith chapter. And we have in verse 23, we're going to start reading there. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Did Moses have a choice in it? No. But as he was placed in that basket there, he didn't have a choice, but it was the will of his parents to see whether they'd get this young man, this young baby, through, past the king's commandment. And the baby just gave in to his parents' will. He was placed there. By faith, Moses, verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. A young man, when he was come to years of accountability, as he was a youth, he made this choice. Did you catch it there? Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So many things in his life were at his fingertips. So much pleasure, it could have seemed like. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch him. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith. And it goes on there as Moses has stepped off the scene, he has followed God and his will for his life to lead those Israelites out. He stepped off the scene and Joshua picked it up. The vision, I believe, that Moses had left to him and led him on through. The walls of Jericho fell down. Moses found God's will for his life when he made the choice to suffer affliction with the people of God than to look out there and say, this pleases my flesh. This pleases my will. This is what I want to do. He looked over and said, I'm going to suffer with the people of God. That's my people. That's who I'm serving. I'm going to serve God. He made that choice in life. Refusing God's will is costly. It costs you a lot to refuse God's will for your life. We talked in our Sunday school how that it can seem, the prosperity of the wicked can seem so pleasing. Why is it that we have to leave up so much? Why do we have to give up so much to serve God? You say that what you're going to give up is nothing compared to the cost of it. God's will gives you so much, but refusing God's will is costly. Question that came to me. Can youth and adults today find rest in God's will without first being at rest at how God has created them? I don't believe so. Where He has placed them in life? I don't believe so. Who their family is? I don't believe so. You need to be at rest with that. And understand that God in His will first placed you there. We can find people today that make the excuse, well, you understand the way I am and why I'm living for self and my own will is because my parents didn't teach me right. And they start that blame thing. Youth, I'm here to tell you, as you come to the age of accountability, you make the choice of today whose will you're going to give into. Are you going to give in to God's will, or are you going to live for self? You make the choice. It has nothing to do with your parents. Yes, that maybe helps it to make an easy choice. But you can have the best parents and you can still choose wrong and live for self. Ask yourself these questions. Is it wrong for God to place you where you are today? Is it wrong for God to give you the decisions you have to make today? Is it wrong? Did God make a mistake in placing you in the home He did? Did God make a mistake when he brings those temptations to your life and you have to choose whether it's God's will or living for self. No, God wants to know who you're going to serve. I remember as a youth, I looked forward and I worried. What if God asked me to do something I'm not comfortable with? What if I give myself to God and His will, and He asked me to do something that I don't want to do? What if He sends me to a mission field? I like it at home. What if He calls me to be a preacher? You put the list there. Are you going to walk in God's will? Are you going to follow Him in His will? Or are you going to live for self? Well, we can maybe look at this. What about if we say, yeah, we're going to follow God and His will for our lives, but then there's bad things happen. Maybe something that could even be avoided if we weren't walking. What if God lets bad things happen? How can I know? Can I find rest in God's will in those times? I've been around enough to know that it's still, even in those trying times, even in the circumstance of life, I can't look at any in my life and say it's real big. Maybe some other can. But can we look at God and realize that God in His will and serving God and giving our will over to Him, can we still say God is still good, even in the trials, even in the tests of life? I'd like to take us for this morning in our message on a little journey in a young man's life. A little journey in a young man's life. You can turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis. We're going to go back to Genesis. As I pondered for this message, I was reading here in Genesis, and I was reading about Joseph. And we want to just take some time to think about this young man. And as I pondered with this message here, I'd like to just think about it. I'd like to go to Genesis chapter 30 to start. And we're not going to read all these passages. I'm relying on the fact that you Bible readers know your Bibles. You understand the account here very well. But Genesis chapter 30, we know prior to this, that Jacob was with Laban, and he was working to have Rachel for his wife. And when the wedding day came, he had worked his 7 years. The wedding day came, and Leah was given to Jacob for a wife. He worked 7 years more, and Rachel, the woman that he really wanted for his wife, was given to him. And in verse chapter 30, we have these two women, Rachel and Leah, Jacob's wives. And in verse 1, and when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister, and she said unto Jacob, "Give me children, or else I die." I want to pull out of this point what stood out to me as I read this account again. I don't know if I thought about it before, but did you ever think about the conflict in Joseph's home life as he was raised? Serious conflict. These two wives couldn't get along. Rachel's envious of Leah because of the children that was born. Both these women were struggling with the fact that They wanted Jacob to love them more than the other. God gave Leah's children, gave her Reuben, and the whole list of boys there. But Rachel is barren. In verse 20, Genesis chapter 30, verse 20, I want to pull this passage or this verse out. And Leah said, God hath endued me with good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him 6 sons, and she called his name Zebulun. And we have Leah said, ah, look at this. I've borne him 6 sons. He's going to love me more. But it didn't stop there. We have God in the picture. And God in his will for these marriage unions that were here. And in verse 22, and God remembered Rachel and hearkened unto her. And she conceived and bare a son. And they called his name Joseph. And Joseph enters in the picture where you could read that account. There's so much conflict between those two women. And it goes on. And the conflict's still there. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 37. We have this young man, Joseph. He was tried to give you a picture of what the home life he was born into. There's conflict there. There's strife there. And we come to chapter 37, and we have the fact in verse 4, verse 3, and Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Remember that Joseph was born to Rachel, the woman that he really loved and he wanted to marry first. And he just, this son Joseph, he just loved him more than everything. There's favoritism in the family. But in verse 4, let's read that. And when his brethren saw that his father, Jacob, loved Joseph more than his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peacefully unto him. There's conflict there. This young man, Joseph, is experiencing that conflict. His older brothers that were born to Leah are looking at him and they have so much against him, they hated him. They couldn't stand his guts. And in verse 5, we have Joseph. He's dreaming a dream. And he dreamed a dream and he told it to his brethren, these ones that hated him, because it just, in those days, dreams meant something. And I don't know if he thought that maybe it would bridge that gap. But what happened in verse 5? They hated him yet the more. And in verse 8, told him some more, and they hated him yet the more. The hatred in the family. And in verse 10, as he told the dreams to his father, that one that loved him, and his father rebuked him and said, and what is this dream that you've dreamed? It's bogus. There's nothing to it. And his brothers envied him in verse 11. But his father said, there's still something. There's still something in this young man, Joseph. I'm not sure about these dreams. They seem a little far-fetched. But there's something about Joseph. His father observed the saying. And so we come on down. And where I wanted to go here is in verse 13. As I brought you in this journey through this, there is no way that Joseph could come this far in life and not feel the resentment to him, couldn't feel the anger towards him and his upbringing. And in verse 13, his father says, Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, hear my. As I ponder youth finding rest in God's will, it must start with respect for the authorities that God has placed in your upbringing. If it didn't start there, it can start with respect to God's authority in your life. Don't get me wrong to say that you can't have these first-time Christians that were growing up in a home that doesn't have this, or even in the Mennonite circle if we have a broken home, that it can't happen. But we have Joseph here, as he's raised in this troubling family life, and his father's his authority, and he says, go. Go see how your brothers are doing. They're over there. And Joseph knew what his brothers thought of him. But he responded to the authority in his life and said, here am I. We have a young man here. As he went to his brethren and to find where they were, they treated him cruelly. He was a young man, helpless in the grasp of his brethren, but he is striving to fill his father's plan for him. They treat him cruelly. They sold him as slave. A slave in that time was, it would have told to signal to Joseph that he's not worth much more than death. But did Joseph get discouraged? Did his faith in his God, and as he served God and he saw God working in his life, did it waver? I don't know. How many times did he go back to those dreams and grasp a hold of them and say, God spoke to me through that dream? I'm sure he wondered. There's probably hardly a day went by that Joseph didn't think about his mistreatment and wondered many things about it. What did Joseph have to cling to at this time? Was it his will? Was he where he wanted to be? No. Remember, Joseph, I believe at this point in time in his life, he had responded to his father's authority, and he's given his will over to his father's will, his earthly father's will. And in this point in time in his life, he gave himself over to the Father in heaven, God's will for his life. And he clung to that, I believe, at this time. Those are the truths that have been taught to him about God and to how God's going to work it out in his life. Well, we could read on in the account. We're not going to take the time. But I want you to think with me this morning. If Joseph hadn't found rest in God's will at a young age, as he responded to his father's authority, and as he responded to God's authority, and he just gave himself to God, when he came to Pharaoh's house there and he was serving in Pharaoh's house, I wonder if he had been in discouragement, if he had been in defeat and had said, there's got to be a way to get out of here. I want my will. I want to go back. Can I run away from my master somehow? I believe Joseph looked at his life at this point and said, God placed me here. Let's go to Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. That's what I want to pull out. And this is later on in his life, after his father's gone. He makes a statement. He's talking to his brothers. Let's read verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, unto his brothers, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought it evil against me. But God meant it for good. It was God's will for me to bring to pass that it is this day to save much people alive. I see in that verse that Joseph just saying, I've given myself, my will over to God's will. Where does he want me in life? And as he came there to Pharaoh's house, And he was faced with temptations. Think with me. The temptations were great for a young man. And he stood faithful. He left his coat and he ran. He forsook the temptation. It was not his will, but he knew the will of the Father. The accusations that he got later were false. He's serving God. This is the truth of it. I don't care if you throw me in prison. I'm serving God. If God wants me there, He'll place me there. He'll help me through that. No matter if he was in prison, he served faithfully there. Just giving up of self to God and His will. God, you placed me with these circumstances. Let me do what I can for Him. No matter as he helped those two men and interpreted their dreams, the one got out and he said, remember me to the king. They forgot about him. No matter if he was forgotten, he just continued to serve. Later on, when he's called to come out and to interpret the king's dream after the man remembers, he faithfully served God in his will for his life. No matter if he is a ruler in Egypt, responsible for all that food. Think of all the power at this young man's fingertips. He had charge of distributing the food. I want to take you and just think about it again. Do you think that Joseph, in his everyday life, every once in a while had to think about those dreams that he had way back there? As he thought about those dreams, he realized that, I believe he would have realized that God was still working in his life, and he had given his life over to the will of God. Lord, if you want those dreams to come true, you can do it. And he just served faithfully. Can we be Josephs today? Can we find rest in God's will in our lives, even when He takes us on journeys that we don't enjoy? Maybe journeys that we would not choose for our own will, where our will would just rebel against a little bit. Can we be so given over to God and to what He has for us? Can we forsake this world and our own desires and our own will and serve God faithfully? I believe we can. As Joseph has come through victorious, so we too can come through victorious today. I'd like to take you on a little journey to see once how can I know what God's will is for me? Because see, the unrest in our lives can come from the other thing that where we wonder. We don't have the dream that Joseph had. Is God's will? Am I in God's will? And so I'd like to take a little time and just a little time, and look at how can I know what is God's will for me. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to go to the negative first. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. It talks about the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And we could read verse 5, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We see here in these verses a list that will keep us outside of God's will for our lives. How do I know I have God's will in my life? Look at it. The list of negative is there. Do I have them in my life? They're keeping me outside of God's will. Stubbornness and selfishness are enemies of God and His will. And let's remember that. Living for self is outside of God's will. Three practical points, three ways to know God's will. The door that God opens to you and His will for your life will never contradict the Word. Did you catch that? The door that God opens in your life, as you try to find God's will for your life, it will never, never contradict God's Word. God's Word is truth. It stands from generation to generation. It never changed. God says, I change not. It'll never contradict His Word. So when God says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, it changes at youth. But it's still there. We still need to respect them. How else can I know God's will? The door that God opens will be accompanied by confirmation. If you feel it's God's will for your life, and you got to go from person to person to person, and everybody discourages you, but you keep striving to find that one person that blesses your endeavor in life, you better seriously think about your own life and if you're in God's will. I believe that when God shows His will to you and gives you, as you search out His will for your life, ask around. When brethren give you confirmation of where you're going and what you feel is God's will, when it's accompanied by confirmation, I believe you have found God's will. Now, if you go to the right sources, if you're going to go around and start picking out which sources you go to find your confirmation, you better question God's will for your life as well. But I'd like to also say with this point, when God gives you confirmation on His will, for His will in your life, don't doubt it. On the way to Ohio, we met with a young man that I grew up with. Was in a lot. He was chosen to be a minister, or to be a deacon, excuse me. And I saw that young man as he viewed the call of God on his life. He had to say, God was working in it. And he was resting in the fact that God's confirmation of His will for his life . And he had to look at me and he said, I don't know how two rebels from the Ohio Whistler Church ended up being preachers. Okay, excuse me for saying it that way. There's some in my upbringing that I'm not proud of. Me and him did many things together. You sitting on that bench, God may call you to work of enhancing the church and to help the church. Are you willing to do it? You must come to the place where your will is in God's will and you want what God wants. And when He brings you to that, I believe He'll give you that confirmation. The third one I have, three ways to know God's will. The door that God opens to show His will to you is going to take you down a path that will require you to depend more on Him. Yes, it's going to take you out of your comfort zone. Sometimes when you just like to just be in that comfort zone, it's going to take you beyond that. And it's going to require you to depend on God and to walk with Him. When you have that, you can realize that you are in God's will. You're living for Him. So how can I have rest with God's will? Well, sometimes rest comes harder. But when you know that God's leading, when you know that God has led you where you're at, and that He's going to lead you into the future, then you can rest in Him. Sometimes the clouds can look dark, but you serve somebody that wants you to pray to Him and to talk to Him. You hold in your hand the key to all the life's problems. Read it. It's there for you. Hold on to the realization that God has a strategic place for you in life. As young people, sometimes we like to just go out and think that life is made up of a big splash, and we want to make a big splash in the world. Everybody sees it. No, serve God as Joseph did, faithfully in the little things, as you follow Him and His will for your life. Well, before we start down this path, closing thought. Youth finding rest in God's will. We first of all need to decide who we're going to follow. My will or God's will. Don't matter whether it's youth, whether it's older people here, whether it's myself. I got to continue to evaluate my life. Who am I going to serve? Is it going to be my will or is it God? And His will and His leading in my life. May God bless us as we turn ourselves over to Him and find rest in His leading in our lives. Let's kneel for prayer.